This is A Pirate's Life for Me. Each week, we'll highlight East Carolina alumni achievements from around the Pirate Nation. And now, from the studios of Pirate Radio 1250 in Uptown Greenville, here are your hosts, Paul Clifford and Denise Walsh.
Good morning, Pirate Nation, and welcome to A Pirate's Life for Me. I'm Paul Clifford.
And I'm Denise Walsh, and we'll be talking with Ron Clark today. He's class of 1994, and he is an innovating and very inspiring educator, author, and the recipient of the 2000 Disney Teacher of the Year Award. He's also been on Oprah many times. I think he's one of her favorites.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. But it's a game day again today. The Pirates are taking on Tulsa in Tulsa, Oklahoma today. Stay tuned to Pirate Radio 1250 for all that action later on today. And we're also gearing up for basketball season. The Southeast Virginia Pirate Club and Tidewater Alumni Association chapters invite you to join them as the Pirates face the Old Dominion Monarchs on Saturday, December 3rd. This is going to be a great event. The event includes a pregame social and a seat with fellow Pirates for the men's basketball game. Register by this Friday, November 18th. Visit PirateAlumni.com for details. Basically, you buy the package, Denise, and you get your game ticket, which is a club-level game ticket. You get the pregame social, and at that pregame social, Coach Terry Holland and Associate Head Coach Mac McCarthy are going to be stopping by. So,
that's great.
A Pirate in the Tidewater, Virginia area, you're going to want to come out and support the Pirates as they play the Old Dominion Monarchs.
Exactly. All in one there. So get your ticket. Call by Friday the 18th or call us at 800 East Hugh Grad or visit PirateAlumni.com. Well, there is a new event on the calendar. It's the Chancellor's Tour. It's going to be held in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and that will take place on December 6th. So check PirateAlumni.com for more information. You'll want to register for that, especially if you live in the Fayetteville area. And stay with us. We'll be right back with Ron Clark.
This is Paul Clifford, Associate Vice Chancellor for Alumni Relations at East Carolina, letting all Pirates know about one of the greatest benefits of being a member of the Pirate Nation. Do you want to lower and simplify your monthly student loan payments? Contact the ECU Alumni Loan Consolidation Program toll-free at 866-924-4491 or online at ecualum-studentloans.com. Lock in fixed rates, possibly lower your monthly payment, and choose from a variety of flexible repayment plans. Sign your application online with e-signature or speak to a loan counselor who will guide you through the consolidation steps. Worried about your student loan debt? Call a dedicated ECU loan counselor toll-free at 866-924-4491 or visit online at www.ecualum-studentloans.com to consolidate your student loan debt. Go Pirates!
East Carolina alumni, you may be able to save on the high cost of auto and home insurance through Liberty Mutual's Group Savings Plus program. The East Carolina Alumni Association and Liberty Mutual have teamed up to offer attractive discounts on both auto and home insurance. To take advantage of these discounts and competitive rates, call the local Liberty Mutual office today, toll free at 800-835-0894. Please mention this announcement when you call. Welcome back to A Pirate's Life for Me. Today we're excited to welcome Ron Clark, East Carolina class of 1994 and Disney's Teacher of the Year. Ron, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. Good. Ron was working as a fifth grade teacher at Public School 83 in Harlem when he was named Disney's American Teacher of the Year in 2000. So let's start at the beginning. Ron, you studied history at East Carolina University, I believe that's correct, and then you went back to receive your teaching degree at ECU. And can you tell us how you originally became a pirate and what brought you to ECU?
Sure. Actually, I was a teaching fellow in North Carolina, and when I was in high school, my family was trying to figure out how I was going to afford college and so forth, and the teaching fellow scholarship is a wonderful program, and my mom said, hey, you know, this is a great idea. This is a great way for you to go to college, but I never really thought I would teach, but it was a great way to get a degree. And so I took the scholarship, went to ECU and started studying history, and I did major in social studies education, but I still never thought I would teach. I just expected that when I graduated, I would pay the scholarship back and find a job doing something dealing with history or with social work.
That's great. You know, I was also a history major when I was in college. What area of history most intrigued you?
Oh, I love American history, but see, I just love to travel. See, that's why I wanted to major in history, because I just love to travel, I love adventure, I love ancient cultures, and after I graduated, I didn't start teaching, I just started traveling around the world, going from country to country. I was spending a lot of time in Romania because I was doing work learning about Vlad Dracul, who was the original Dracula, and I was doing work with these gypsies, and I lived with them, and whatever food they ate, I ate, because I had no choice. I was living with them, and one time they fed me some food, and I ate it. I wasn't sure what it was, and when I was finished, I said, "Now, what was that meat I just had? Was that hog? Was that pig? What was that?" And they said, "No, it was rat. That's a rat." And so I'd actually eaten a rat, and I got so sick that I was flown home to North Carolina, and I was in the hospital, and I was in bad shape. My mom was like, "Ron, your father and I can't take any more of these adventures. You gotta get a job." And I was like, "No, I don't want a job. I want to travel and have adventures and learn about the world." And my mom told me that at a local elementary school, Snowden Elementary School in Aurora, that a fifth grade teacher had passed away, and she said, "You know, the school's devastated. The community, will you please go teach those kids?" And I didn't want to, but she twisted my arm, and finally I went and met the students, and I just saw the situation they were in, and I fell in love with it.
You know, Ron, it sounds like you mentioned your mom and I guess the parental influence that she had over your career. Can you talk a little bit about some of the folks that stand out in your mind that might have mentored you along the way, either here at East Carolina or through some of your adventures?
Sure. One excellent teacher that I had was in high school, and her name was Rebecca Owens, and she was so scary. I mean, she scared me to death. She was almost 6 foot, and her hair just rose to the ceiling, and she was always just so adamant about learning biology and chemistry, and she was all over the place, and she was mean, and she never smiled. She was just always, when we walked into the classroom, she was just fierce, and she would start, you know, on that chalkboard as soon as we walked in, and she would fuss at us, and she was just so demanding, and I couldn't stand her. I couldn't stand her in high school, but when I got to college at ECU, I was like, "Oh my goodness, these classes are easy compared to what I went through with Miss Owens." And so, just because of her passion and the drive that she put in that classroom, that always made an impact on me. And when I got to East Carolina, Dr. Scott Thompson, he was a wonderful professor, and I just always looked up to him. And I remember during one of our classes, we were having this discussion, and he stopped in the middle of class, and he said, "You know what, Ron?" And I was like 20 years old. He said, "You know what?" I said, "What?" He said, "One day you're going to be National Teacher of the Year. You watch. You're going to be National Teacher of the Year." And then it happened. So it was crazy, dude. You know, he just really believed in me, and I appreciate that he saw that I was going to be successful as an educator, and then it happened. So he was just wonderful. And, of course, my parents were just great supporters throughout my entire life.
Well, you talk about you talked about doing a lot of traveling as well and your adventures following college. I also read somewhere that you were a singing and dancing waiter in London. And as I looked at some of the information about you, it looks like you carried that over to your classroom. Can you tell me how those skills really helped you relate maybe to your students? And
okay. Yeah, I love life. I love taking every day for the moment, just going for it. And like when I was in London, like you said, you know, I sang and danced for my food and all these different countries I've traveled and things I experienced. I made sure I brought all of that into my classroom. I shared those stories with my students, and I also tried to bring adventure into all of my lessons. Sometimes I would sing and dance my lessons. Sometimes we did lessons where it involved us getting out of that classroom and traveling around North Carolina and traveling around the world. I've taken students to, every year from North Carolina, we would go on 30 field trips. We would go to Washington, D.C., New York City. I've taken my students to Tokyo. We've been to Costa Rica. We've been to London. We've been to South Africa. You know, I try to take my students all over the world because I want them to feel that passion. I want them to feel that passion that I have for traveling, and I want them to see, you know, what is out there. You know, the opportunities, the experiences, the culture. I want them to see the world with big eyes, and I just want them to have the opportunities and the experiences that I've had.
This is Paul Clifford, and you're listening to A Pirate's Life for Me. We're talking with Disney's Teacher of the Year, Ron Clark. Now, Ron, you've shared with us that you live with gypsies and you've eaten rat with them, that you've danced for your food and sang and danced for your food while living in London. And then it seems like your move from North Carolina to go teach in the inner city of New York and teach in Harlem was just another one in these series of adventures that you've taken on. Talk about the decision to move from North Carolina and why you decided to go to Harlem.
Okay, well, I love Eastern North Carolina. It's my home. I mean, it's deep in my heart. I mean, that's just where I grew up, and I never thought I would leave Eastern North Carolina. But after teaching in Aurora for 5 years, I saw this TV show, and it showed these schools in Harlem that they were going to close because of violence, lack of teachers, and overcrowded classrooms, and it just really touched me. I can't explain it, and like I said, I like adventure, and so I told everyone in Aurora that I was leaving to go up there and teach, and everybody said I was crazy. But after the last week of school, I drove up to Harlem. I stayed in the YMCA because I couldn't afford anything else, and went up and down the streets, and finally I found one of those schools that I'd seen on the TV show, and I walked in the door, in the front doors, and there was a fight going on right there in the doorway between a sixth grade boy and a male assistant at the school, and the boy was huffing and puffing. I was trying to calm him down. They were trying to take him to the office, and the resource officer came out, and we took the boy to the office and set him down, and they went to call his mom and to get the principal, and I didn't know what to do, so I sat down beside the boy, and he was just going, he was just huffing and puffing. He was so angry. I didn't know what to do, so finally I leaned over to him, and I said, you know what? I said, I was breathing like that one time, and I passed out. And the kid was like, for real? And I was like, yeah, for real. So I talked to this kid, and after about 5 minutes, he said, you know, you're different. He said, you talk to me like you really care about me, while these other teachers, you know, you can tell they don't respect us, they don't care for us, but you're different. And I took it as a sign. That's the school where I wanted to be. So I went in and I told the principal, I said, I want to work here. She said, you want to work here? I said, yes. And she said, well, you're going to have some challenges because you're a different race from anyone in the school. You talk funny. You're from the South. You know, you have some things going against you. But I told her I wanted a challenge, and that's where I started working, and also had a wonderful experience there and fell in love with it.
You said earlier that one of your favorite teachers was scary, and you know, you were frightened of her. And not to say that that you are scary, but it sounds like you do set some expectations and rules at the beginning of the school year, and it seems to really work well, and then you're able to have fun with those kids and you respect them and vice versa. Can you share with us a little bit about how you would start the school year, how you let those students and their families know what was expected, and then how that really paid off in the end?
Sure. But I will say that I expect that some of my students would say that I'm a little scary. it's a balance. The thing with Miss Owen, she was phenomenal, but she scared us to death. And we couldn't really tell that she cared about us, but we could see she really cared about those subjects. And I wanted to use that type of behavior in my classroom. But on the other hand, you got to show kids that you care about them, that you love them, that you want to be there. I mean, you got to build a relationship with your class and with each of these students if you really want to be successful. And so I am strict. I am so strict in terms of manners, discipline. You will say yes, sir, to me. You will say no, sir. And people listening in North Carolina might think, oh, that's nothing. Yeah, that's typical. But in New York City, getting kids to say yes, sir, and no, sir, it was not easy. I mean, but I demand those things from my students. I demand respect. They will respect each other. They will pay attention when I'm speaking to them. They will have all eyes on me. They will respect each other's comments. So I am so strict, and I'm so demanding of these kids. But they accept that level of attitude from me because, on the other hand, they know I care about them. They can see that why I'm trying to do these things and why I expect such things of them because, you know, I have goals for them, and I see a lot in these kids, and I believe in them, and I see their potential. So you have to find that balance. And on the first day of school, I basically tell my students that. I tell them I'm strict. I go through, I have 55 rules for my students. I wrote a book called The Essential 55, and it's about the 55 expectations I have for my kids. And I go through all my 55 rules on the first day of school. I explain why they're important. We role play these rules. I let these kids know exactly what I expect from them. And that's the key. Whether you're a parent or whether you're a teacher, you have got to be specific with your kids, and you've got to say, this is what I expect from you. This is how I expect you to treat me. This is how I want you to act in this situation. And then you're going to get results. You know, so often we're always telling kids, mind your manners, be disciplined, be respectful. But for a lot of these students, you know, that's not specific enough. They need us to let them know exactly what we expect from them in every situation, you know, in terms of manners and respect, because a lot of these kids aren't being taught those things. And so I just go through, I let my students in my class know exactly what I expect, and then it's a matter of reinforcing it. I reinforce those rules. I'm very consistent. I stick with it. And then after a month or so, I have got a class of students who normally they say is the worst class in the school, but after about a month or so, they're organized, they're clapping for each other, they're cheering, and then I can take those students to the moon, and by the end of the year, their test scores are always through the roof.
That's great. You know, in addition to the rules, Ron, I understand what you're saying. You know, you set those rules as this is where we start, and we're going to go from here as a group together. It also seems like you do a number of things in your classroom that really connect with your students. And we saw on your website that you've actually become quite an expert at the double dutch. Can you talk about a little bit about the balance that you strike there with being Ron Clark, the guy with 55 rules, and Ron Clark, the guy who can bust out in song and dance and do double dutch?
Sure. Well, you got to add some spark to your classroom. And I remember one time I was having some trouble the first week of school in Harlem, and those kids that couldn't relate to me, and there was 37 kids in my classroom all day, and they were just they took one look at me and they expected me to quit because that class had never had a teacher stay a complete year. They would average 5 or 6 teachers a year, and I went to the office and I was talking to the secretary about how difficult these kids were and the things they had done. I had been spit on and all these things had happened, and she said, "You know what, Ron, if you really want to get kids to respect you, whether you're a parent or a teacher, they've got to be able to relate to you on some level." She said, "Those kids, they look at you as something so different from them. You got to show these kids that, you know, you're not so different, that they can relate to you." And so that's when I started trying to learn their music, trying to bring their music into the classroom, but I would change the lyrics to a lot of things we were learning in geography class and history class, and I would go in there and I would learn the dances the students were doing, and these kids in Harlem loved the double dutch with the two ropes. I mean, if you want to raise your status in Harlem, it is bigger than basketball, bigger than rap, bigger than anything you can think of to be able to double dutch with those two ropes. And so I would go out there every day, and the whole class would get in a line, and they would double dutch, and you get two jumps each. And I asked them if they would teach me how, and they said, "Sure, Mr. Clark, back of the line." They were so mean and so rude, but every day I would not give up. Every day I went out there and tried to double dutch. And finally, after about 2 months, one time I jumped in, and they turned the rope real fast, and it caught my forehead and scratched me. And the kids were like, "Oh, Mr. Clark, are you okay?" And I was fine, but I was like, "I don't know if I'm okay. I don't know. It's hurting." They're like, "Oh, Mr. Clark, we're so sorry. We didn't mean to hurt you." And I said, "You know what?" I said, "I give up. I quit. You know, I'm done with this. I can't do it. You know, all you've done, you made fun of me. You called me skinny thing and stick boy. You joked about me." I said, "I'm too old. I'm too uncoordinated. I can't do it." And I was walking off, and the kids were like, "Oh, Mr. Clark, come back. We're sorry. We'll slow down the ropes. We'll help you. Trust us. Trust us. We believe in you. You can do it." So I said, "Okay." And so after a couple of days of them helping me and giving me as many jumps as I wanted, I finally got it. And see, and what it was, I had to earn my stripes with those kids. You know, a lot of time teachers, especially first year teachers, will walk into a classroom and expect to have respect. You demand respect immediately, and a lot of times you're not going to get it because sometimes you have to earn it in the eyes of these students, and you have to be in their eyes worthy of their respect. And after I put forth all that effort trying to get to know them and do those things like double dutching, then they were willing to listen to me. And then in the classroom, when I was trying to fire them up and trying to get them to do work, a lot of times the kids would say, "You know, it's too hard. We quit. And I'd say, "Don't you say that to me. I remember we were out there on that sidewalk and I told you I quit. I told you I couldn't double dutch, and you told me you believed in me and you asked me to trust you. And so I did, and now I can double dutch. So now it's your turn. You need to trust me because I believe in all of you. So come on, you can do this." And I'm just always pumping them up. And that's what these students need. Every child needs someone to believe in him or her. Every child needs someone to be their champion and to lift them up and to support them. So many of our students out there have potential and they have the ability. They just need someone who can really walk in that classroom and really put that fire in them and show them that they see the potential in them as well and to lift them up.
You're listening to A Pirate's Life for Me, and we're talking with Ron Clark, East Carolina graduate and teacher of the year. Ron, you've had numerous appearances on Oprah, The Today Show, CNN, and I understand you became Oprah's first phenomenal man. So can you tell us how that feels? I know Oprah loves you. Everyone we talk to talks about how dynamic and energized you are. And can you tell us how you're able to leverage this this attention to help students today and get your message out?
Sure. Well, Oprah's great. I love her so much. And, you know, I'd always seen her on television, but I never really got the big picture of how enormous she is. And people always wonder, what's she like in person? What's she like in person? And when I met her in person, she was like so down to earth, and she was just like so chill and just laid back and laughing. It was like, it was almost like she was better than she was on TV because she was more relaxed. But she's just such a nice person. And the first time I ever heard from her, she called me on the telephone one night out of the blue, and I just answered the telephone. I said, hello. And she said, yes, can I please speak with Ron Clark? I said, this is he. She said, hello, Ron, this is Oprah. I said, Oprah who? She said, Oprah Winfrey. She said, Oprah Winfrey. How many Oprahs do you know? I said, I don't know any Oprahs. And so she's just so nice, and it was such an honor, you know, to get to be on her show and to have her talk about my book and to highlight the work that I did and other students, other teachers do with kids. It was wonderful, and that's the best thing ever, because now, because of Oprah and because of CNN and the Today Show and all these different shows and the New York Times and all these different publications, it's given me a lot of weight and leverage in the teaching profession. So now I can go out there and I can say, you know what, this is what we need to be doing. This isn't working. You know, looking at test scores this way, it's not going to be effective. And people will actually stop and say, oh, okay, well, let's listen to what he has to say because he's got really good ideas and his ideas have worked in the past and so forth. And also, I'm starting a school in Atlanta. It's a school for kids in 5th through 8th grade with discipline problems, learning disabilities. And it's been wonderful because this is a private school, but we're pulling students, you know, from a low wealth area. And what I've done is I've gotten businesses to sponsor these students so these kids won't have to pay for anything. And I wouldn't have been able to do that if I hadn't had to be on these shows and had these experiences happen, because now when I go in, people trust me because, oh, he's done these books, you can see his type of philosophy right here, and he's done these things. And so people were willing to listen to me, and it got me in the door. Then I could talk to them about this school and how powerful it's going to be. These students in 5th grade will go on 3 international trips, and then every year after that, they'll go on 3 additional trips. But that by the time they're in 8th grade, these students will have visited every continent, including Antarctica. And so it's going to be a powerful experience. We're going to take these kids who are really going down the wrong path. And by the end of 8th grade, these students will have traveled all around the world. They'll have had the best educators possible. And these students are really going to be, you know, on the right track, hopefully, for a really great future.
Wow, that's awesome. Ron, we know you're currently lecturing throughout the country. We understand that there's even a made-for-TV movie that's in the works called The Ron Clark Story. Tell us a little bit about that, and tell us who's going to play Ron Clark.
Okay. The movie is going to be on TNT, and it's sponsored by Johnson & Johnson. It's the Johnson & Johnson Movie of the Year for next spring, and it's in casting right now. And it's really a very long and drawn-out process. It's supposed to begin filming on September 3rd in Toronto, and in terms of the role of who's playing Ron Clark, it's still up in the air. What happens is the producers put together a list of usually about 20 actors who they think, okay, these actors will work well. Then it has to go through TNT, and then TNT will break down that list to usually about 6 actors or so. Then it has to go to Johnson & Johnson, and they have to approve those 6 actors. And usually the couple of times they've done it, they've approved like 3 actors, and then they take those 3 actors, and then the 3 actors are approached, will you play this role? And unfortunately, the 6 actors who they've approached up to this point have turned it down because these actors are like really big name Jim Carrey type actors, and they all say, you know, we don't do TV. And so they usually say it takes usually like 3 or 4 rounds before they find an actor who everyone agrees with and who will agree to do the TV movie. So unfortunately, it's hard to get a big name actor to do a TV movie, but hopefully eventually they're going to come up with somebody, and they say it could be any day. So I'm just kind of waiting around seeing and just excited to find out who it's going to be.
That's exciting. Well, Ron, you know, when I was on your website and I saw the video of the awards presentation and some of the special videos that were produced about you and about the things you're doing, I, like many Americans, are touched by the work you're doing. I just want to say thank you for not only being a great pirate and a great member of the pirate nation, but, I mean, all the things you're doing for education in this country. You're not only a great pirate, but you're a great American, and we're just so proud to call you one of ours.
Oh, that's so nice of you, and I'm proud to be a pirate, too, and, you know, in the 2 books I wrote, I made sure, you know, that I had on a pirate tie in both pictures, and when I went up to New York City to do the photo shoot for the books, they would always say, bring 10 ties, bring 15 ties, because we want to make sure that we have a good selection, and every time I took one tie, both times it was a pirate tie. I said, this is not negotiable. I said, I want to show my pirate pride, so I'm proud to be a pirate, probably from East North Carolina, and proud to be on the show today, so thank you.
Great, Ron. Thanks a lot.
Take care.
We'll be back after these messages.
East Carolina alumni, you may be able to save on the high cost of auto and home insurance through Liberty Mutual's Group Savings Plus program. The East Carolina Alumni Association and Liberty Mutual have teamed up to offer attractive discounts on both auto and home insurance. To take advantage of these discounts and competitive rates, call the local Liberty Mutual office today, toll free at 800-835-0894. Please mention this announcement when you call.
This is Paul Clifford, Associate Vice Chancellor for Alumni Relations at East Carolina, letting all Pirates know about one of the greatest benefits of being a member of the Pirate Nation. Do you want to lower and simplify your monthly student loan payments? Contact the ECU Alumni Loan Consolidation Program toll-free at 866-924-4491 or online at ecualum-studentloans.com. Lock in fixed rates, possibly lower your monthly payment, and choose from a variety of flexible repayment plans. Sign your application online with e-signature or speak to a loan counselor who will guide you through the consolidation steps. Worried about your student loan debt? Call a dedicated ECU loan counselor toll-free at 866-924-4491 or visit online at www.ecualum-studentloans.com to consolidate your student loan debt. Go Pirates! Welcome back into the show. Thanks again, Ron Clark. Wow, what an amazing story that guy has to tell.
I know. He inspires me to go out and teach just listening to him.
I want to jump rope. I want to learn how to hopscotch. I want to learn how to
dance
do everything.
In the classroom. I wish I had teachers like that.
That's right. Well, we have a whole bevy of activities coming up in end of November and December. What's going on, Denise?
Well, we've got a lot of holiday socials that are coming up in December. In fact, the first week we'll have, I believe, 3 holiday socials. I know that there's one in Raleigh on the 8th, and Durham also on the 8th, and one in Greensboro, I think, on that Saturday, actually. So a lot of holiday socials. If you are in one of our chapter areas, check out piratealumni.com for what might be happening in your area.
This week at ECU, the Alumni Association is just one of many sponsors of a reception in honor of ECU author and history professor Dr. Chris Oakley, who wrote Keeping the Circle, American Indian Identity in Eastern North Carolina, 1885 to 2004. The reception will feature Native American music, food, and dance.
I was just going to say, it sounds like a lot of fun, and faculty, staff, friends, alumni are welcome to go. That'll be at the Mendenhall Student Center, and you can find out more by calling the Student Life Advancement Office, and they are at 252-737-1066.
What's that number again, Denise?
That number is 252-737-1066. Or if you can't remember it now, just visit piratealumni.com, check on our calendar for next Wednesday the 16th, and you'll have some more information about it there.
That's right. It's going to be a great event with Dr. Oakley, one of East Carolina's finest.
And if you are looking for more information on upcoming events, we mentioned the Chancellor's Tour earlier in the show. That'll be on December 6th. Registration is available now, and, of course, at our website, piratealumni.com. And the Pirate Career Calls is a new series that we mentioned last week. It's going to be kicking off on December 1st. These calls will take place from 12 to 1, and you'll have a chance to talk with our Career Center director, Sue
Martin.
Martin,
right?
Thank you. And that's going to be, again, December 1st, and should be a good opportunity. The first one is called Career Changers.
Yeah, it's a great program. Basically, what folks will do is they'll call in just like you would call in on any regular kind of conference call, and you'll get to hear Sue Martin talk about this week's topic will be, or December 1st, the topic will be career changers. Did you graduate with a degree that you might not be using, or are you in mid-career and you're looking for a change? Sue will give you all the tips on how you can go about rejuvenating your career or starting a new one. And
that's
so,
right. And I
December
think you
1st.
Can interact as well, ask questions. So it should be a good opportunity. And I think all of us are going to be changing careers, as statistics show. So even if you're not sure you're changing now, maybe you want to check it out and see what she has to say.
Absolutely. Well, you know what, Denise? I was just on the UBE website yesterday, and I saw the new alumni collection by Cutter and Buck, and it just looks amazing. I started to think of all of my pirate friends out there who I could start to buy things for the holidays in that alumni collection.
Exactly. And when you buy that alumni collection from UBE, it's a Cutter and Buck line of about six six pieces, different colors, of course, all pirate colors. And a percentage of that will go to alumni scholarships. So you're going to be helping out as you are shopping for yourself or your family and friends this holiday season. So check it out at pirateware.com. That's UB's website, pirateware.com. Or
That's
visit
right.
us on our website.
That's right. You know what I like about this line of clothing, too, is that it's not just your regular, t-shirts and shorts. It's a higher end of clothing that you can wear on a casual Friday, and you can just show off your East Carolina pride in your workplace. And so it's a really nice line of clothing. Denise said six items available each in three colors. Visit pirateware.com today to order all that, all your pirate gear, all your pirate wear for your friends around the pirate nation.
Exactly. Well, and tune in next week. We'll be talking with Bob Gretchen, Class of 73. He's the president and CEO of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of North Carolina. So should be a great interview. We're looking forward to it. And, of course, we're looking forward to a good football game today against Tulsa in Tulsa.
That's right. Visit PirateAlumni.com for upcoming event information wherever you are in the pirate nation. Thank you to Shirley Rhodes, who produced this show. Coming up at 11 is the Budweiser pregame tailgate with kickoff at 3 o'clock. And until next time, Pirate Nation, keep inhaling purple and exhaling gold.
Go Pirates!
Go Pirates!